Welcome to the
Idiots
Explaining
Entertainment
Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. D4.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 10 of E4 2025. That's right. We decided just to keep doing it because we got E4-like stuff to do. So I'm Tommy Jamieson over there. How you doing, man?
We're here for Tokyo Game Show, which we've never done before. And I was like, that's kind of E4-ish. So
yeah. And it's been a long time since we did our last show, which was still E4, and we said it was probably going to be the last E4 show. We will tell you why it's been a long time since we did a show here in just a second. But because of Tokyo Game Show, and specifically the big three all doing events kind of in the lead up and then at Tokyo Game Show specifically for Xbox, we just have like really E4-ish content. Yeah. So we're going to do an E4 episode still, and we'll get back to normal episodes someday. But yeah, how it worked out, we're still E4 in it.
Let me just bring up that if you are not a Patreon member right now, today is the example of why you need to be a Patreon member, because we're about to tell you what's going on. But if you are a Patreon member and if you are watching the video, you can already see it.
Yep,
I've really tried hard for the last 2 minutes not to laugh out loud because Tommy looks a little different.
Yes. By the way, thanks to the Patreon guys, Cabbage Jose, Narc Duff, Josh Hector, Spider, Spencer Kavash, Chad Zeke, Chris Brigham, Sam, Andrew Luik, Logan, Liz, Jordan, Gio, and Derek. As always, we appreciate your support. If you want to support us on Patreon, you can do that. Go by GamingUncensored.com, click that Become a Patron link over there. We will happily take your money, spend it for playing games or possibly medical bills, because it wasn't a gaming-related injury, so it's probably not going to take money from the show to pay for it. But I broke my hand. I am in a splint right now, which Jamie is looking at. It's super cool. The thing you want on your hand for sure. Broken at the base of my index finger. So my index finger is splinted. I've got the other fingers I can wiggle, but they don't do much when you can't like grab stuff with it. So it's a pretty pointless hand.
Kind of got the same problem here.
Right. So Jamie's having a good time with this. Jamie has been as happy as I've seen him in a while since we fired up the camera this morning.
I really am happy. All I have to say is thanks to our buddy Steven at the Able Gamers Foundation, who brought up the fact 10 years ago now, at least,
yep,
that you, sir, will eventually be crippled. And now here we are.
Yeah. If you can go back and I don't know if we still even got that posted somewhere, but it's a great interview with Steven from Able Gamers talking about accessibility and all that good stuff. And I had made some quip in it. I don't remember. I gotta go back and look it up now because I'm legit curious. But I had just said something about, you know, as somebody who doesn't have a disability that prevents me from playing games in some way and something. Again, I don't remember exactly what the context of it was. But Steven, I do remember his response was, you don't have anything that you're dealing with now, but almost everybody's going to deal with something at some point. Some point in your life, you are going to have a disability that is going to affect lots of parts of your life, but specifically for us talking about it here, your ability to play games. Fortunately, I hadn't for a while. I do now. My gaming diet has been different as it stopped. I'll tell you about that in just a second. But it's definitely been different for the last month that I've been dealing with a broken hand. And I can't hold a controller. I can't play with a controller right now. So any controller game has been out of the question for the last month. I can't WASD on the keyboard much. I can do just a little bit, but
I got one finger over here on the that I do that with, and it really makes that hard.
Yes, and so
ASD,
yeah, for sure. And so now, I mean, I have watched you play games. I have played games with you. I've had a good sense of your abilities and your limitations and all of that, just from knowing you for 20 plus years at this point. But I had never been in a personal experience where I go, oh, I really feel the frustration of it firsthand. Now, of having that limited ability with my left hand to do that stuff and knowing that I can't play a fast action game or something like that because of it. Like, I also get your frustration a little bit more now. Now, I haven't been dealing with it for some decades at this point, all that kind of stuff. And so I still don't get a fraction of the frustration I'm sure you deal with on a regular basis, but at least I have that little bit of better like empathy about how frustrating it can be and why all the accessibility stuff we talked about is so important.
This right here is a great example of why I went nutty about Expedition 33 for several months, because it was a game that I could play with no limits. Mm. Same applies to Baldur's Gate, same applies to Deus Ex, because they are slower games. They are more at your own pace, sneak around, not have to fight anybody type games. Like, I have been running around like crazy the last 3 weeks, and I haven't even had my PC on. And I gotta tell you, I desperately, and we talked about it last show, and I'll just bring it up again, I desperately want to play Death Stranding, but I'm trying not to let myself get too deep in it, because I know there's going to be a point in the game where I have to fight somebody, and it just won't work. Like, it just won't work. And like, no offense to anybody that you know, sends me a text and says, well, just do this, or just sneak around, or what, like, you can't. Both games are not built that way. And I really want to play Metal Gear Delta, because I'm curious how that will run on mouse and keyboard, sneaking around doing the snake thing. Because I was thinking about it the other day. Metal Gear, you and I have talked about it before, Metal Gear Solid was one of the games that I played through four times, I think, because it was one that I could do. Even the boss fights were slow enough that I could handle.
Yeah.
Right? So I played through that like four times. And I'm really interested in Delta to see if that is something that's going to be doable. I haven't spent money on it because I'm afraid that it's not. Because every time that they do, they say it like it's an upgrade. And for 98% of people, it is. But every time somebody says, revamped controls, I think, oh no, and that we're gonna talk about remakes this show, and one of the remakes on the list is the original Deus Ex, which Duff is excited about. He immediately sent it to me and thought I was gonna be really excited, and my response was, not everything needs a remake, but I will probably play through it for a fifth time because it's one of those that I can play. I saw that in the stuff for the show this week, and one of the things that they said was revamped controls, and I went, ugh.
Yeah.
So yeah, it makes a difference.
It definitely does. And like I said, I have a different experience appreciation for what that looks like now. Hopefully, so I had surgery. I have a couple of pins in my hand currently. They come out on Monday, knock on wood. All things look good. I will get the pins out. But I don't know how much of my finger is actually going to work initially. Yeah. The doctor said you might have it back. It may not work for a couple of weeks. I'm going to have to go to rehab. Yeah. Yep. So I don't know when I'll be able to actually get back to playing like controller-based games or any of that kind of stuff. But hopefully soon. I had really, really tried to finish Donkey Kong because I'd broken my hand, but I had a couple of days till surgery that I could still kind of use a controller. And so the last couple of videos of Donkey Kong were miserable because I was playing it with a broken hand. But broken hand, I still had a finger available for. But after that, I'm picking up either Death Stranding or Metal Gear, and I don't know which one yet. As soon as I have a working hand, I'm playing one of those two games as well, and I'm really trying to figure out which one I need to pick up.
Do I get a vote on that?
You want of course you get a vote. Because, I don't know.
Because here's my thought process. We're going to play Death Stranding 2 eventually. We have to play it. There's no way around that. But based on what I just said about that Metal Gear should theoretically be easy. Yeah. But now that you're dealing with that, I would like for us to play that at the same time.
Yeah.
And have the accessibility discussion.
Yeah.
That's my vote for that, is that we pick up Metal Gear
and
play it at the same time and just see what happens.
I think that's a good idea. I think that was kind of the direction I was leaning anyway, but I think that's a good idea.
So,
I will mention the game. I'll just give a plug to this game since I've been playing it a ton recently because it's about, you know, what I was able to do. Slay the Spire, which is a game that's been out for a long time. It's on sale on Steam right now for the autumn sale. So if you're interested, it's cheap. It's also on Game Pass. So if you have Game Pass, you can go pick it up there, which is the way I'm playing it. Roguelike card game that's kind of dumb and, you know, like just but fascinating and like once you kind of get into it, it gets pretty addictive, as all roguelikes seem to. That has been the thing that has gotten me. I went through a handful of games. I'll mention at least one other one, which is Disco Elysium, that I've had in my Steam library forever. I couldn't do it.
Well,
Physically, I could do it because it's all point and click, which is fantastic. Yeah. So, like, it's a perfect game for like being able to navigate with one hand.
Right.
But the thing I couldn't do is it is so incredibly dark, and I just was in like a crappy place of like having just broken my hand and just you know, like I have a 2-year-old son. I can pick him up, but it's hard. I can't play with him the same way. I can't play video games with Genevieve right now. You know, like there's just a lot of stuff that sucks about this, obviously. Yeah. And I started playing Disco Elysium, and it was just I played 2 or 3 hours of it, and it's great. It's so well done, but man, is it dark. And I was like I'm not in the headspace for this. I'm gonna have to come back when I can like navigate
I want to know when you go back to it, because that's one that I have in my library as well that we both need to play. Yep. I'm gonna tell you why I haven't played it, because I've done a little research on Disco Elysium, and I think it's fine as far as the accessibility thing, except my issue with it is that time works differently. Time passes when you're in conversations, as opposed to when you're in the world. It does a lot of really weird stuff with it. Has some really weird mechanics that just didn't sound like I was gonna have a good time. Plus there's a lot of text, there's a lot of stuff.
A lot of text, yes.
Yeah. And so I've had it in my Steam account for years, and I desperately want to play it. I would really appreciate it if you would let me know when you get back to that, because I will load that and we can fire that up together. Because, like you said, from an accessibility perspective, it kind of works in some ways, but in other ways, I think it's kind of lacking, because we've talked about anything, and I have this problem with the Altars right now. I've played a few hours of the Altars a few weeks ago, and I don't like the way that time passes in the Altars, because everything that I do is slower, right?
Yeah.
And so it takes me longer to get where I need to go in a game where time is constantly passing. And the first time I played the Altars, I played the first day, and dude passed out from exhaustion because I didn't get him in bed on time. Like, that was the thing. And it was just one of the slow, crippled, like I was moving as fast as I could move, but it wasn't fast enough. And so I really want to play this Disco Elysium, but I've always been afraid of the time element of that.
Yeah.
And let me just say one more thing on this, and then we'll get off of this, because nobody wants to hear about both of us being crippled. But the most depressing thing about this is playing a game that you know you're really going to enjoy, buying it, downloading it, firing up, and playing an hour of it, and going, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm at with Death Stranding. Like, I want to dive headfirst into the original Death Stranding, but I'm not allowing myself because I can see I'm going to get to a point in the game where it's going to stop me. And so I'm not allowing myself to, you know, pull a Sam and fall completely in love with it for 120 hours.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm going to hit a point where I hit a wall. Like the same thing with Horizon Zero Dawn. I love that game. I so badly want to finish it. But I'm at a point where I'm like, ooh, I need a Tommy because I don't have the ability to do this section. And that's the thing for developers out there. You can 80% of your game can be great. But if you come up on a boss fight that somebody can't handle, they're just stuck. Like, yeah. There's no way around it. And if you are making games out there, and the greatest example of this that I can think about is Control, because Control has the option to literally adjust every single thing. You can adjust how often you die, you can adjust how often the enemies are, you can make yourself basically invincible. And because of that, I really need to get back to Control. From an accessibility standpoint, every single game out there needs that, because there's nothing more frustrating to me than playing 80% of a game like Horizon Zero Dawn and coming up on a boss that I just don't have the ability to take out.
Yeah.
Like, that's the worst thing. So if you're out there, if you're making games, everything in your game needs to be adjustable. And one of the games we're going to talk about today, Ninja Gaiden 4, I was watching that yesterday. It looks so cool. I so want to get into it, but I can't play it. I know I can't play it.
That's an interesting, we'll talk about it, but that's an interesting one too, because the thing that they really highlight about it is how they're making it more approachable, how they're doing stuff to make it less of a challenge and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. But it's a different kind of thing. We'll get into that. We'll get to it here in a little bit. But all that said, we do, because we've been doing this E4 thing for, you know, like 6 months now or whatever, a long time. We've had a couple of segments come in that we just hadn't gotten to. So we're going to play them and talk about them really quick before we dive into Nintendo, Sony, and Xbox for the rest of the show. But we figure we probably need to get these in, because one of them, this first one we're going to listen to from Steve, has been sitting in the email since July. And so probably time to discuss. So here is Steve.
So much whining about the voicemail line, I figured I would call. This is Steve Dynick. I love you guys, but my God, the sports talk. I care less about sports. Like, really. Just did a build for my nephew. He came in with some money. We built him a nice new desktop with a Ryzen 9700X and 32 gigs of RAM, a 4 terabyte Samsung hard drive, and an RTX 5080. I spent $800 on my gaming computer. This one topped out at $3,000. I think gaming is great. So, there. Hopefully, this will keep your voicemail line alive a little bit longer. See ya.
All right. So, on that. It's October.
Right.
So, let me just mention to you that fall baseball starts like tomorrow.
Good day yesterday.
So, Steve, we love you, but
now you got to make us talk about sports for a little bit.
Yeah,
it's baseball playoffs, it's college football, it's NFL has started. Like, it's a good time of the year for a sports fan.
That's right.
Not for an Astros fan, let me mind you.
Yeah.
The first time the Astros haven't made playoffs in 10 years.
Well, that's a struggle, considering how they started out. Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
Man, just collapse at the end of the year. But, you know, it is what it is. The baseball playoffs are already fun, though. The wild card games happened yesterday. We're fine. There's more today. Like, baseball is good. Baseball is fun. Football is good. I watched the Broncos game on Monday night, which was great. Yeah. Just like, man, live it up. There's been good college football. College football is a weird sport now, man. That thing has changed so much. With
love that transfer portal.
Right, the transfer portal and name, image, likeness stuff. Like, whoo, that's a different sport. It's good, but man, it's a different sport than what we grew up with college football wise. So, anyway,
I will say that, and you're not going to believe this. I have not had the television on in the last 4 weeks, and if it has been on, I have been on YouTube watching stuff for this show. Trying to keep up with what's going on, and so I am a week behind at least on all things of all things PTI. I have not seen PTI in a week, and that's a big deal because that's how I keep up with sports. It's 30 minutes a day. You know everything you need to know. You're done. I'm a week behind. I have not had the television on because I've been watching stuff for this show. I'm excited about fall baseball. It's my favorite time of the year to watch baseball. For me, baseball is a live sport. If we ever get to the point where we can like just go and do what we want, we're going to be at the park all the time.
Yeah.
Because baseball is one of those things, like I'll sit and watch it on TV. But if you want the baseball experience, you go to the park. I don't feel that way about other sports necessarily, but baseball is one of those. But I do get really excited about fall baseball because it's the best baseball of the year. It's not close.
Yeah, it's so fun. It really is. So all that said, we'll get off the sports for you, Steve. The rig sounds amazing. That's super fun.
I need to ask him, Steve, send us another voicemail because it's your nephew has been playing with that for a couple months.
Right.
We need to know about the Ryzen.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely
I'm really curious because we talk about that a lot on the show. So tell us how it's performing. We want to know. So
we definitely got to know because both of us really would like to build one, but we don't have the guts.
Yeah.
So please let us know how that's working.
For sure. And he's right. Gaming is great. So we love gaming. So one more for you. This one is from Mikeums, who has been around for a long, long time. Our boy Mikeums. Just a quick little segment with a game recommendation. So here is Mikeums.
Hello, Jamie and Tommy. This is Mikeums, long-time listener and part-time segment submitter. I just think you guys should check out a really cool game. It's called Cider Reloaded. Cider Reloaded. It's a remaster of a game called Cider Arcade. Anyways, check it out. It's a great game. It's got a great soundtrack. All right, take it easy. Mike from Sound Day. See you.
I think you actually played Cider Arcade back in the day.
It feels familiar, and I looked it up. It is on sale right now on Steam, so if you would like to pick it up. It's one of those kind of bullet hell space flying around kind of things. It very much is like what I remember playing a lot of in like Super Nintendo days,
right?
Of just like crazy like shields and power ups and abilities and blasting things and like chaos and all of that stuff. That's super fun. And so looks very cool. It's $10 on Steam right now. So if you're looking for something to scratch a crazy flying, shooting, getting hit by a lot of bullets, like it should, looks like a good option, and it's very pretty. So the remake of it is very, very, very pretty.
I'm always glad to hear about a game like that that we haven't seen in a while, because there are some of those genres of games that you just don't see a lot of. And like, I remember back in the day, like, that's all the Atari was those type of games. Like, I played a ton of those back in the day.
Yeah.
Because that's what they were. I mean, So something like that right now, that's really cool to hear about.
Yeah, just arcadey and like crazy and fun. And nothing wrong with that at all. So thank you, Steve. Thank you, Mikeums, for segments. Of course, you can send us a segment too. Call us at the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
It still works, as you can see it here those. And as we have been bothering Google not to take it away from us, because they're still trying, even though we did get a couple of segments, they're still trying.
Yeah.
They really want our phone number, but they can. So. All that said, we did get into our actual news, which again is a Nintendo Direct, a Sony State of Play, and Xbox at the Tokyo Game Show. And so we've got lots to talk about. We're obviously not going to hit everything from all three of these. This is the kind of stuff we once upon a time dedicated a show to each of these, but we're going to kind of squeeze them in here, in part because we need to talk about them, in part because they weren't super new. And there's relevant stuff from them, so we'll talk about that. I think the Nintendo one may have been the newsiest of the three. Right. So we'll start there. Nintendo had a lot of announcements, some of which would not be surprising, some of which were. I knew this was coming. I didn't think this is when we were going to get it. There's a new Super Mario movie coming. And so we were very skeptical the first time we heard about the Mario movie. And then we saw it, and it was pretty great.
Yeah.
And now they're doing a Super Mario Galaxy movie. And I have the opposite reaction now of like, oh, this is going to be phenomenal. And so I'm worried they're going to screw it up. But it looks very cool to bring back all the cast. And so, like, as weird as Chris Pratt as Mario is, it worked. Jack Black as Bowser was great. They're all back. And so I'm excited about it. I think it'll be cool.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, it's all around. Most of this direct was about the Mario 40th anniversary. Yes. And so it's an awesome time to say, hey, we're doing a new movie because it's been 40 years. So I really like the way that they did that. I really like the way that they put this entire direct together. Mm-hmm. That said, I will say that when it was over, I was like, well, okay, all of that's fabulous, but there's not a lot in there that I really feel like I have to play.
Yeah, the big Mario news. There's several little Mario things in here. One I'm super excited about, but it's pretty niche. But the Mario news itself was there isn't a new big game or something like that was announced. They are doing an HD re-release of the two Super Mario Galaxy games, which are phenomenal by all means. Like really, really great Mario games. If you haven't played those, go play them, and this will give you a good excuse to go play them. That's, you know, kind of what it is. They're doing a Switch 2 release of Super Mario Brothers Wonder, which is also really good. I haven't even finished yet, but I need to. And then the new kind of Mario game that they announced was Mario Tennis Fever, which I am a personal super fan of Mario Tennis. I just love those games. And like most of like Mario Kart and everything else, like it starts with the kind of epitome of the franchise is the Nintendo 64 version. This will not be that. But the last one they put out was pretty fun. I bet this one will be pretty fun. And so, you know, that kind of stuff, but no like new big platformer or 3D Mario announcement or anything like that you might have expected for the 40th anniversary. The big announcement was the movie, which again is fine, but also feels a little weird given that Mario's a video game first. So I was thinking going into it, knowing that they were going to do the 40th anniversary thing, that we were going to get a new like standalone Mario, the like Switch 2 Mario, and we didn't get that yet.
It goes back to that video that I posted on Discord a couple months ago of the girl that said that she was frustrated. She said it differently than that, but that's the word for frustrated. And I can kind of see that because it's very obvious that Nintendo is cruising and they're not doing anything differently than they have done since we were kids. What they do is they release a product, and more often than not, the product, whether it's a movie or a game or whatever, is so good that they can cruise on that for a while, and they don't have to do a lot of stuff. And and as they get older, and we're all getting older. Yes. I mean, Miyamoto was on this direct, and he's looking like the rest of us.
Yes,
got a lot more gray hair, and so all of those guys that have been Nintendo for years and years and years, they may still work 80 hours a week. They probably do, but the thing is they don't have to, and they know it.
Yeah.
And so, Nintendo is just doing what they do, and that may be frustrating if you're a gamer, but like, the only thing that we can really complain about is if the movie turns out to be bad. Like, if the movie is stellar, we're going to come back here and we're going to say, okay, Nintendo did it again, and we're going to be happy for another year.
Yeah.
Until they give us something else.
For sure. That is all fair, and we know there's going to be big name Mario games coming at some point, and so it's just a matter of when. But it just, this would have been a really nice time to have that. And it was, again, there was lots of Mario focus, and that was nice, but just wanting that like next big Mario game, like Mario Galaxy 3 would have been cool, you know, like just like having that connection to the Mario Galaxy universe, since they're going to put out a Mario Galaxy movie now and all that kind of stuff. So things that were not Mario, Metroid Prime 4 has a release date, which is kind of a big deal because it's been this like ethereal thing for a while. December 4th is when we're going to get Metroid Prime 4. They have a new trailer, which includes Samus on a motorcycle, which was unexpected. I don't know exactly how I feel about that one.
I ran it back and watched it twice.
I know, I did too.
Because I was like, did I really just see what I don't know if you do this, but like, I'll turn something like this on and work on something else. I'll have a web browser open. And I looked up and I saw that, and I was like, wait, what? And I ran it back, and then I ran it back again. And I don't know. I feel the same way. I don't know how I feel. And they did another. There was another couple little things in here that I'm like, I'm not sure.
Still looks like Metroid Prime, which has me excited and all the things. I'm hoping the motorcycle is cool. Just came out of nowhere. That's not something I'm expecting from Samus. So,
well, on top of that, she's on a planet that may or may not have gravity. So, like, how does the motorcycle work with variable gravity?
Lots of questions.
Yeah.
Theoretically, we'll get answers on December 4th. I'm pumped about it. That's a day one kind of like we got to do something. So Metroid, unless it sucks, and then I'll be very sad, but still, we'll check it out. So, Pokemon Pocopia. I gotta mention Pokemon because we know it's a big deal. It looks like, again, this is my limited like understanding of Pokemon world stuff, but it looks like a life sim Stardew Valley ish Pokemon game,
right?
Which, if you're into Pokemon, I could see how you'd get into. I like Stardew Valley. I don't know that I need a Pokemon version of it, but you know, it could be a thing. As far as I know, that was new. That wasn't something we knew about before. We did get a little bit of Zelda with more of Hyrule Warriors, and I just, as much as I love Zelda, I could not care less about this game. It just has nothing that interests me
Can I be honest? And we're getting old, and I feel bad, and I for saying what I'm about to say, because yesterday I just finished my second 800 page book of the year, right? So I read a lot, but when I sit down to play a game and I'm having this issue with Donkey Kong, I'm a couple hours ahead of you, in Donkey Kong, and we're not going to talk about it until you actually finish it. But I'm a couple hours ahead of you, and I'm so tired of trying to read the text. Like, I'm just, when I play a game, I don't want to read text. I don't want to, and it's not because I don't like to read. Like I said, I just finished my second 800-page book of the year. I read a lot. I like to read. I don't want to do it when I'm playing games, especially when half of your cast has a voice.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so tired of reading text and dying. I can't do it anymore. And I think that's part of why I hope that Metroid has some more voice with it.
And, yeah.
Because I don't want to scan everything and read every little... I don't.
Yeah, for sure. I totally get that. And I concur. I hope that's a thing, too. The Switch being a weird little console, like, even though it's a whole lot more powerful than we've seen, you know, Nintendo stuff in the past, it is still comparatively space limited, and voice takes up space. Much less than you used to as well. You can do it much better, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's something that Nintendo, as much as we talk about all the good things of Nintendo, that's still places where they feel behind, and that's one of them. There's a new Yoshi platformer coming, which to me are kind of underrated games in the Nintendo catalog. Yoshi games are
they're
good.
Great.
Yeah, so yeah, Yoshi and the Mysterious Book it's pretty. It's, you know, like what Nintendo games look like at this point, the kind of 3D side-scroller kind of style. Very cool, has this storybook element to it. Nothing to complain about there. Let me see here. Donkey Kong's getting DLC. Final Fantasy VII. Let me back up really quick. The Donkey Kong DLC, as much as I'm enjoying Donkey Kong Bonanza, it's a fun game. Did not have any. There's like a roguelike thing with this, and maybe it'd be super addictive and I'd be into it, but like there was nothing about this DLC that I was like, oh yeah, I need to go pick that up.
I thought that I said it, but maybe I just thought it and I didn't say it out loud. What I was trying to get to is that I'm almost 20 hours into Donkey Kong, and I'm ready to be done.
Yeah,
like, I'm ready for it to be over. I'm ready to go play Metal Gear. I'm ready to go do, like, it's fun, but I'm done. Like, I don't need to see this the DLC.
Yep. Resident Evil 2, not 2, Resident Evil Requiem is coming to Resident Evil 9 is coming to Switch 2. And we'll say this about a lot of games. If that's the only way you've got to play it, then great. Otherwise, go play it on something else.
Yeah, please. Be much
better on something else, on anything else other than the Switch. But if that's the only place you're going to get to it, that's fine. Hades 2 also coming to the Switch.
That one's a great Switch game. Yeah,
that's going to be a lot better on the Switch. So that one I totally get. Play that on the Switch. Final Fantasy VII Remake Intergrade also coming to the Switch.
Again... No.
Somewhere else. Same idea. And then last thing we'll mention on Nintendo here, just because it's fascinating, I want to get your thoughts on this one. The Virtual Boy is back. For people like us who are old, we remember the first time we tried this and it bombed miserably. But the Virtual Boy was a quote, big quotes here, virtual reality console of the 90s.
Yeah.
That was all red graphics and was strange. And like, it was like super ahead of its time and was supposed to be like super cool and whatever. And it, for multiple reasons, didn't take off. Nintendo, for all the success that we talk about with them, also has their share of busts. They take some risks sometimes that don't
Power Glove, baby.
Power Glove. I had one of those. Yeah. I never had a Virtual Boy. I didn't have a Power Glove. I remember playing Rad Racer with my Power Glove, and it was miserable. Just a terrible experience, but still trying it. Thought it was a cool idea. Virtual Boy, I never even got that far with. This one is like you get the Virtual Boy housing and then you actually slide the Switch into it, and it uses, you know, like 3D optics of, you know, having the two screens or whatever, two split screen thing. That's how I understand it, at least, to do the kind of 3D virtual element. but it's the old games and their red weirdness still. And I'm just like we have legit virtual reality at this point. That isn't compelling enough with the games.
We're going to talk about Reach later. Reach popped up in a couple of those. So, yeah.
It's, you know, it's fine. But, like, I just don't know who this is for, because I don't know who's nostalgic for it, because it kind of sucked.
Look here, going back to what I just said about Nintendo Cruising, they're not putting this out because somebody's nostalgic for it. They're putting this out because they know they can.
Yeah.
And somebody will buy it.
Yeah.
And that's why they're doing that. That's one of those, like, sketchy, going back to the nice lady that I referenced 10 minutes ago. That's one of those sketchy things that it's like, really? Like, it's very obvious that you're doing this because you can, to see how much money you can get out of us.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, yeah. And we'll see. There is a cardboard version, if you remember the Labo, whatever. Was it Labo? Nintendo Labo?
Yeah.
We put together some of the stuff.
There's a video of us doing that.
Somewhere. I don't remember where it is at this point. But yeah, it's going to have one of those that did like a more legit. It looks like, at least just from kind of what the trailer was showing off, like a more legit, like plastic, like what looked like the original Virtual Boy. Again. I don't care.
No.
I like that. Like, Nintendo's like, hey, look at all the nostalgia we could do. But like, the thing that may be your biggest failure as a company, it just takes some gall to say, yeah, let's bring that back and really do anything new with. Like, if it would have been like Virtual Boy 2.0, and it's like actually some like upgraded, interesting game elements, it's still going to be pretty gimmicky, because that's what you're going to get from any kind of virtual reality running on the Switch. But you could have done some interesting gimmicky stuff, as opposed to just doing the stuff that wasn't very good when you put it out 30 years ago or whatever it was.
I just, like I said, that one doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
And because they're doing this, if there's people out there that buy this, they will re-release the Power Glove. Like, that's coming next year. If the Virtual Boy sells, I don't know how good, because there's like 12 games. But if it does, they'll do it again, because they know we'll pay for it.
Yeah, for sure. So that was most of the Nintendo stuff. Like I said, we're not going to cover everything, but most of the big news. We'll move to Sony. So Sony had a State of Play with less newsy stuff, but we'll get into a couple of things. Do you have any thoughts on this Saros? They said it a million times, so I still don't remember how to say it. Third-party action game shooter kind of thing.
It sort of looked like original God of War.
Yeah.
With a gun.
Yeah.
Like that's what it kind of looked like. And I saw it again yesterday. I don't remember what I was watching. Or another game that was like it. And this is one of those themes that I think has sort of popped up this year. People want third-person games with fancy guns that are pretty and running gun and all that. That's kind of a thing this year, and like, I'm sure it'll be fun. Maybe. I'm not super into it though. I mean,
yeah, that's kind of where I was.
Yeah.
I just wanted to make sure I wasn't crazy. No. Microsoft Flight Simulator is coming to the PS5.
Okay.
That was random to see.
So that when I saw that, because it didn't say at the very beginning, this is Microsoft Flight Sim. I'm looking at it, I'm like, did they rip off Flight Sim? Like, what did Sony do a version of Flight Sim? And then I saw that and I'm like, okay, yeah. Microsoft is all in on the platform and releasing their games everywhere that they possibly can. Yep. We're going to see Game Pass accessible to other to other consoles. I think maybe not Sony, but I could see it coming to. I could see some games coming to Nintendo. I could see some games coming to hand. I mean, for crying out loud, we're going to talk about the Xbox Ally in a little bit. That thing's coming out in a few days. They don't care where their games are at this point, which yeah. I give you credit for this because you called this several years ago.
Yeah,
I don't know how you feel. It makes me uncomfortable.
It is just weird. Like, it's just a different world of gaming than what, like, we grew up with. I was just talking about all this nostalgia and everything else. Like, just it's just weird. It's just different. And I don't think that's a bad thing. But it's just like both see, because like you said, we'll see it the flip side of it a little bit in the Xbox show as well. Just seeing like this Xbox Play Everywhere thing of them becoming like a super publisher is kind of what it feels like, right? Like that's more than hardware and everything else. They're going to continue to do hardware, but I bet they'll continue to do like third party kind of hardware like they're doing with the handheld. And so, yeah, it's just weird, but that's okay. I don't mind Microsoft Flight Sim on other platforms. Nothing wrong with that. It's cool. So, you mentioned before, I'll mention it again here, the Deus Ex remaster. Which looks cool. Kind of interested to see it, but you know.
Well, I told Duff, I said I'll probably play through it a fifth time.
Yeah.
But like I don't have to, because here's my thing. It's not that much of an upgrade visually.
Yeah. That's kind of
it's not.
It's prettier, yeah. But it's not modern.
It's not, and that's fine. Like, here's my thing about the remakes. I want to play Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 4. There are certain remakes that I absolutely want to play. The rest of them, I feel like, are a money grab.
Yeah.
That's what they are, and this is one of those that like reeks of it. I love this title. It may be my favorite game of all time. I don't know. Like, I was thinking about it when I saw it. This may be my favorite game. I know where all the crap is.
Yeah.
Like, when you walk into the tech guy's office for the first time, I know there's crap under the floor. Like, I know there's candy bars under the floor and behind his console. Like, I know where everything is. I love this game. I don't need a remake.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. And that's, you know, there's a lot of those now because we are in, like, full remake world, as you mentioned before. Halloween, the horror franchise, okay. Getting a game.
So
kind of interesting, right?
You grew up as a child differently than I grew up. And I know you watched a lot more Halloween and a lot more Freddy than I did. How do you feel about this?
I'm not into that world anymore. When I was a kid, I definitely like Friday the 13th and Freddy Krueger and like all that stuff, Michael Myers, like on and on. I was into that stuff. I have both kind of grown out of it and also just don't like horror that much anymore. Like, I've just, it's not my thing. However, there was something about this that just felt kind of like nostalgic horror, and the fact that like you could be Mike Myers and like, you know, like have that. It's not the kind of game I'm going to play because it's like a social game, and as we've talked about a lot, that's not the kind of games we typically play. But I could see how it would be fun. Like, watching it, I was like, okay, I kind of get the idea behind this and like the like ways that you can like go like ghost with Michael Myers, where like other people can't see you and sneak around and try to save your friends if you're playing on the other side or whatever. Like, oh no, it's fine. Again, probably not one that I'll ever pick up, but like there was something about it that clicked for me on that nostalgia side.
I hope that it is good, because there's some of these and this is not really an example because there's never been a Halloween game, but I was thinking about it. And I've been thinking about this a lot recently. I am shocked that we don't see remakes of games from Sega like Sewer Shark, Double Switch.
Yeah.
Dracula, which I played a ton of on the Sega CD. I'm surprised that we haven't seen all of those, because this Halloween game is kind of in that vein of like the early 1990s, late 1980s, kind of. Like, I'm going too early. I realize that. I realize it was later in the 90s for most of those. But that's what this kind of feels like.
There is a game. I'm curious because, again, I haven't played it. I can't even think of the name. I'm going to try to find it on Steam really quick. But there's a game that's not based off of like a horror franchise, but has that same feel. It's like the Quarry, maybe. Is that it? Am I remembering this
correctly? Again, I don't know.
Steam. Yes, the Quarry. Good. I'm not crazy here. By the way, very discounted on Steam right now. It's $8 or something like that. So, if you've played the Quarry, it has a very slasher movie from our childhood vibe to it. Let us know if it's any good. I'm just curious because it came out a couple years ago, but it just has that same feel to it of kind of what one of those would be. So anyway, neither here nor there, but that kind of reminded me of that. One I am really interested in. Oh, go ahead. Before
I was just gonna say, like, there's a couple of these that I really want to be into. Like I said, I want to play Resident Evil 2. I want to play Resident Evil 4. I want to play 7, 8, and 9, which, by the way, that's a great example at the beginning of the show. That's the reason I haven't touched any of those, because I know at some point I'm not going to be fast enough to do what I need to do to get through. So that's why I haven't played the Resident Evil titles. I want these types of games to be good, because they're not, to me, they're not like, hey, let's get an extra $40 out of somebody.
Yeah,
like these are classics that I think are worthy of a remake.
Yes. Yeah. There's definitely a spectrum of what games make sense and what games don't. Yeah. We mentioned Disco Elysium earlier. The developer behind Disco Elysium had a new game called Zero Parades.
Yeah.
Looks legit cool.
Yeah. Because
it has the same style as Disco Elysium, and so it has that vibe to it. I don't know if it's going to be a little bit easier to take the way they talk about it. Probably not. It's a quote, narrative first espionage RPG steeped in paranoia, surrealism, and a struggle for redemption. So it sounds very like probably along the same tonal lines. Also, failure is inevitable is part of the description for it. So cool.
I saw an interview with these guys, and I've decided these guys they want to mess you up.
Yes.
That's what they want to do, and that's what this is going to be. And you said early in the show, we need to play Disco Elysium. We do, because it's one of those that, like, it may be one of the best games in the last 15 years, and we haven't touched it. Like, we don't know. So we need to play that, and we need to play this, but we need to be aware. It's kind of like, give me another company. I'm trying to think of one, but I can't right now. We know the type of games that they do, like an 11-bit was Frostpunk or this format. We know what they do. This is another one of those things. These guys do these type of games, and they're really good in the way that they do them, and we need to play them.
For sure. I'll mention Chronoscript, The Endless End.
ooh. Okay, so I had this on my list last night because it showed up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of interested in this.
Yeah. It's Metroidvania-ish. The kind of graphic style is like a book. So it's kind of not really hand-drawn. Not comic bookish, but like a book, like an old storybook, but like really dense. And you just gotta go find the trailer for it, because I'm doing a terrible job explaining it. but it looks very interesting, very cool, very like mess with your brain and also the Metroidvania exploration kind of side of things and all that. I don't know if it'll actually be any fun to play. It looks like it could go either way to me of being either super annoying or lose that kind of novelty factor pretty quick, or maybe like one of those phenomenal Metroidvanias that becomes part of the lore of that kind of genre.
But,
yeah. It's at least worth looking at.
Absolutely.
There's a 20th edition, anniversary edition God of War DualSense controller, just to make you feel old. 20 years of God of War.
Okay. So I don't mind the theme controllers, especially if you're a fan of a game. But realistically, how many people are going to buy this?
Yeah. I don't know. It's one of those things, like you slapped a little red paint on your controller and you sell it for $10 more, whatever it is, $20 more. You know, there's enough fans out there that'll probably make their money back off of it. You know, like that's kind of thing. That's what it is to me. So it doesn't resonate with me in any specific way, but it's fine. So the thing that does resonate with me is, save this for the last, because this is the best part of the whole Sony thing. They showed off Wolverine, the Insomniac.
Yeah.
Wolverine game. Ooh. Yes. Which is maybe the game I'm most excited about of any like games that we know that are coming game right now.
Can I tell you that I told you I've been running around like crazy. I've been in last week I was in here for 2 days trying to set up a church, and then I was back for the weekend because I had caregiver issues, and so I've not been in my house, and all the guys on Discord was blowing up this weekend, and I'm like, I'm not going to try and engage because I'm not where I can look at what they are talking about. But when I got home Monday evening, the first thing I said was, I'm going to go through the PlayStation, Direct and just see what's there. And most of it was blah. And then I saw this and I was like, yes! Like, I literally, if I could jump, I probably would have jumped.
Yes.
Because this is so awesome. I'm so excited. I will say that I did not read a lot of Wolverine in the comics, but I did several years ago get the origin. What's the name of that? The graphic novel. I gave it to somebody and never got it back. but it's like, it was like a 6 comic series, and my brain says origin, but that's not right.
Yeah.
Is it?
Origin.
Okay. So it was like a 6 or 10 comic series, and I got the whole thing in a book, and it was excellent. Like, it was so good. And so I saw this and I was like, oh,
yeah.
This is so, like, this is us at 14.
Yes. Very specifically, like, Wolverine was my dude in comic book world when I was a kid. Like, I loved Wolverine. I consumed everything X-Men that I could. That was kind of my favorite thing. And I was a huge comic book person. I liked comics, but I did, like, Wolverine, anything that had Wolverine, either, like, solo stories or comics about the X-Men or whatever, like, that was what I would go to first. I liked Spider-Man. A lot of that stuff for me came later. Like, really, my comic origin was around the X-Men and Wolverine specifically as that. And so for me, like, this is the most kind of hitting my nostalgia of comic book world when I was a kid. And then making it real grown up. It is real. I was very surprised at the kind of visceral reaction I had to just that opening sequence of the trailer with how much gory violence there was, that I was like, man, I'm getting soft, because that kind of, like, I'm like, this looks phenomenal and I'm pumped about it. It's gonna be super satisfying. But I was also like, ugh. That's gross, man. It was like brutal. And I love it. I'm so glad that they're like very clearly not watering down Wolverine. Because Wolverine is like It's like the Punisher.
He's a messed up dude.
He's a messed up dude. And if you don't have the real unfettered violence, like his story doesn't make sense. You got to have that. That's why Logan, the movie, was so appropriate. You know, like it just like was so raw. And that's to understand this character. Like you can't do it any other way. Like it has to be.
Right.
That. And the fact that they're leaning fully into that made me very happy. Like there's no question that this is an M-rated game. Like they're not going to try to play around the edges of this. Like they are fully into it. Just like Logan was no questions an R-rated
movie.
Like it just was obvious there. So it looks phenomenal.
Two things on this. Firstly, I had the same response, but instead of I thought, okay, we're going to have to do this after the kids go to bed.
Yes.
or we may have to, this may be something that you and I play together in the same room when you're here for 4 or 5 days and there's nobody watching us and we have drinks in our hands and we have food and like that. That is just the thought of that is the single greatest idea that I've had this year. Because you and I will be totally in love with this. Now, it could also be very easy to screw this up.
Yes. Like, yeah. It's such a different vibe than Spider-Man. And this is the kind of like other side of like, I hope they can pull it off. Because like what makes the Spider-Man game so brilliant, they did a great job with the story and like the characters are good and like they approached it from a really fun way. But what makes those games really ridiculously fun is web slinging around the environment. Like that's really like at the heart of it, the combat's fun, all that kind of stuff, but it's fast paced. You're going over huge swaths of Manhattan at once. It's like so fulfilling. This is like the polar opposite in terms of pacing and tone, right? Like Spider-Man's kind of goofy and funny and like wisecracky.
This is heavy, dense,
kind of intentional, slower. Like it's just going to be a different gameplay element for Insomniac to prove that they can do.
I got an example for you that will clarify this, I hope, because I'm so excited to get back to Spider-Man, because that's why I want to finish Donkey Kong so I can get back to Spider-Man, because every time I see Spider-Man, watch a little bit of Spider-Man, I'm like, this is the greatest Saturday morning cartoon ever made. That's what it is. Yeah. It's a 20-hour Saturday morning cartoon like when we grew up. Now, this thing will really prove to me whether superheroes is what these people do. Because like you said, it's different. They can't do it like Spider-Man. You can't have, like, there's going to be some wisecracky stuff because Logan is wisecracky. But when Logan makes a wisecrack, it's very often accompanied with an F-bomb.
Yes.
Okay, so like, you gotta get that.
Yes.
And if they can get that, as far as I'm concerned, Insomniac might as well have every single superhero game from this. Just give it to them, be done. Nobody else should even try. Nope. Because if they can nail this, they figured it out.
100%. So super pumped about that. That's the thing I'm most excited about of anything we saw. Moving on to the Xbox showcase. We'll move through this one pretty quick in part because I just don't think there's as much here. This was specifically for Tokyo Game Show. And so I mentioned that in saying that they leaned into that. Like they showed off Japanese developers here. And
which games I love, by the way.
For sure. Games that are going to appeal to the Japanese audience more, which at the same time appeal to me not as much. Yeah. So I get that. Their big announcement, I'll go ahead and start with their big announcement because I don't think it's one that either you or I are going to want to spend a whole lot of time with, is Forza Horizon 6. That's a big deal. Forza is a massive thing. And it's going to take place in Japan. And so it made all the sense in the world to announce that at the Tokyo Game Show. I'm fine with Forza. They're fun games. I'll play them because they'll pop up on Game Pass and I'll spend, you know, a handful of hours in them and I'll move on. It's not a franchise that I need a ton of, but it looks very pretty and I'm glad that they're doing it. So good on them.
Yeah.
We did see something I know you and I are both more excited about, a little bit more of 007 First Light, not a whole lot, but we've seen a ton of it over the summer. And so just kind of the building on everything else that's been going on with 007 Last Light. I hope they don't screw it up. It looks pretty cool.
Look, I don't know if you had a chance to watch the deep dive, but I watched the deep dive. And the one thing that I can say that I am afraid they're going to mess this up, because if you watch the deep dive, a large section of that deep dive was him in a car, in a car chase. And yeah, cars are a big part of 007, but it went on forever. And I'm worried about this. I want it to be so good, and I'm just not sure it's gonna make it.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at on it. I need it to get here, and for people to say, yeah, it's actually pretty good, and I'm gonna be excited about it. There's this weird thing that happens when you get so inundated with information about a game like we have with this. We've just got tons of it, starting with Summer Game Fest. Like, they've just been putting out lots and lots and lots. Part of that is like, okay, they're really excited about to talk about it and want to show it off. Part of that, another game that showed up in this that I don't care about, reminds me of how Bethesda talked about Fallout 76.
Yep.
And they were really trying to sell us on that. It's actually really cool. And we bought it. Like, you and I were pretty excited about Fallout 76 for a little bit. And then it kind of turned into, and then by the time it got here, we were like, nope. And we've never touched it. You know, like, it just, and we love Fallout, but like, it just, that's what it turned into.
Look,
because of the overwhelming bit of like talking to us they did about it.
Yeah.
Kind of have that feel here.
Well, let me just pull a line from what they said, because they did like a 2 minute or 3 or 4 minute thing with two of the guys from the Fallout team, and they're like, we've done so much, and there's fishing and you can eat the fish, and like, I love Fallout.
Yes.
So excited about Fallout. I don't want this. I don't want to play it. I don't want to boot it up. I don't want it.
Yeah.
And I love Fallout, but I don't want this.
Yep. And like we said, there's more in here about that. We probably won't talk about it because we don't care too much. Bruce Lee did show up. That was fun. Bruce Lee is joining Hitman. And so I was unclear. Maybe I just missed it. The way they talked about it, didn't feel like you actually got to play as Bruce Lee.
You were
playing as Agent 47, like protecting Bruce Lee.
Yeah, that's what I got.
I need to play as Bruce Lee if you're giving me Bruce Lee in a game, right? I'm not crazy about that, right?
No, you're not. But okay, here's my problem with Bruce Lee is I'm not sure how you pull off Bruce Lee in a game accurately. Okay,
yeah.
You can say he's been in Mortal Kombat, he's been in other
things,
but like Bruce Lee to me is like a legend. Like he's like, I think of Bruce Lee the way that people think of Jackie Chan now. Like Jackie Chan now is legendary. When we were growing up, Bruce Lee was that guy. And he was, there was nothing like a Bruce Lee movie. Nothing. And so, yeah, you got to play as him. But if you're going to play as him, I don't know what that gameplay looks like.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the trick here, is that if you are bringing Bruce Lee into the Hitman universe, it can't play like Hitman, because that's not Bruce Lee. And so maybe like just you get this cool like little interaction with him, but you're still, you know, doing Hitman stuff. So Yeah, it's fun because, again, nostalgia, as we've talked about a lot, but kind of the rest of it there. I'm just scrolling through these games and there's just a ton. Again, most of them aren't stuff. There's a Romancing Saga 2. There was this one they showed at the beginning, the gun gore whatever.
Yeah. That thing, it's like that one's like the Sorrows. Like,
yes.
That's another one of those. It's like Sorrows. Okay, so here's the thing, and I had to keep reminding myself as I'm watching this that we are a month away from the holiday season, because as I'm watching through all of this stuff, I'm like, this is not that great. Like, it's like they threw a bunch of stuff in a pot, and I'm talking about all three of these.
Yeah.
Like they weren't great. It's like they threw a bunch of stuff in a pot and said, here's what we got for you. And then I realized we're getting close to the holiday season. This is supposed to be the dead time, but we live in a world now where everything is 24/7 and there's got to be content and there's got to be stuff going on. And that's kind of what this felt like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they had games and they had some stuff, but none of it was like, wow.
And honestly, that's kind of what Microsoft has become, you know? And like, what you end up with is like some really good, like, B tier games that end up on Game Pass that like make that worth it, except for the price is going up on that, which is, you know, what
well,
it is.
Well, I hadn't heard that. What are they going up to?
I think, as I just saw this on Discord this morning from Logan, I think it's going up to $30 for the Ultimate, for the top tier. That's hard. So something to consider there. But all that said, like, you still get such great games on there. Like, you can justify that, you know, whatever way that you need to justify that.
We're gonna justify it by you guys paying for it.
Thank you, Patreon.
I am not taking money out of Patreon for Game Pass ever, but if it's going up, I'm going to start.
The $30 a month tier is for day one releases, and so
sketchy, because like the streaming stuff I can't use because of the controller. I told you when we moved our web hosting that I was gonna upgrade that, but then I talked myself out of it because I was like, well, the stream, all pretty much all of that is controller based and I can't do that. So
yeah,
but if you're gonna take the day one stuff and put it in a tier, like, we kind of need that.
Yeah. So, which is, I mean, it's the Ultimate tier. It's essentially everything that it is now with Ubisoft Plus Classics, which I don't know if is that currently part of game. It's so hard to keep up with EA stuff is, because that's how we play It Takes Two on EA through. But anyway, so there's that. Anything else from Microsoft that we missed at this point? Like I said, there's a ton of games, but just nothing that. We'll probably get back to a couple of them when we talk about the other stuff from Tokyo Game Show, which is, I'm sure, what we'll focus on for our next show. But it doesn't feel like there was anything else. It just wasn't big announcements. It was a whole lot of Fatal Frame 2 showed up. Dragon Quest 1 and 2, the 2D remake. That's one I wish I had time for. Because
Double Dragon.
That's right.
Somewhere.
Double Dragon. Yeah. And so a handful of like cool stuff. And it all has to play anywhere and Game Pass stuff. And so we'll see, but that's the kind of gist of it. They talked about the mobile device. I don't remember what it's called.
Xbox Ally.
Ally, that's right.
Yeah.
So they showed that off a little bit more, as we mentioned before, and all that. So, you know, like, it's Xbox, what they're doing now.
I know we got to go because it's getting late, but we have a Steam Deck.
Yes.
Do you have any desire to have one of these now, granted, because of this show, if somebody sends us one, we'll absolutely play it. We'll absolutely talk about it. But do you have any desire to go buy one?
I don't, because I can get Game Pass streaming on the Steam Deck to work. Like, that's the thing. Being able to download Game Pass games, you know, directly without having to buy them on Steam or whatever, like, would be a little bit of a benefit. Not enough. I don't play the Steam Deck enough to justify that. Like, I can buy the games I play on the Steam Deck because I don't play it a ton. And so, you know, like, it's not hard for me to justify that purchase once in a while. If, you know, Game Pass continues to be what it is and more games are starting to come there, I might revisit that. But they also want to get that on, like, other platforms as much as possible. And so, and as long as the cloud system works decently well on a Steam Deck, which is Steam Deck, excuse me, which it has, in my experience, like, I'm fine with that. Like, that works. I will play Game Pass on Steam Deck that way. It's, you have to work around it a little bit, but, you know, not.
The reason I bring this up is because on my list of things to do today is to upgrade my PC to Windows 11.
Yeah.
I've been putting it off. I haven't done it. It's time to get that done. And I dread it, other than I'm curious as to what the Xbox features that are in there. Like, I hope that we have access to that. I don't remember what they called it. Basically, what I want to say is I hope that we have access to that Ally software build of here's your library, here's your stuff. Like, yeah. I'm looking forward to that in Windows 11. I'm going to bet you money it's not there, but I'm hoping it is.
Yeah, it might be. I don't know. I've been on Windows 11 for a while, and it's been fine. I haven't dove deep into anything. Like, I just use Game Pass or whatever,
right.
Which it does, like, surprisingly, like, games have started showing up in Game Pass I don't have, like, that I have in Steam, that I'm like, why are you here? But I haven't spent enough time playing with it to figure out what it's doing, but it is. So I did fire up Baldur's Gate. You mentioned that earlier as a game that works, that I played that for a little bit because I had it for a while, but I should get back into a little bit. Native mod support.
There's all kinds of stuff. Like, cool. It's a whole new game. You and I are gonna
so overwhelming because it's such a big game that fired it back up. I was like, oh crap, this is a commitment if I'm doing this.
Look, I'm like, here's what gets me about Baldur's Gate. We gotta go. But here's, I look at it, I'm like, I gotta get back to that. And then I remember that I've got 130 hours in it, and I'm still in Act One. If I fire that up, it's over. Everything else goes away, and so I've been like holding my breath. And so you'll have to let me know what happens on Monday when you get your stuff done, and how good that is, because you and I may have to just both go back to it because of the whole cripple thing. And just make the effort to go back to it, because I do know enough to know that it is an entirely different game at this point. There's so much stuff that they have built into it that it's a whole different deal.
Yes, yeah, for sure. Which is both great and overwhelming. And so, you know. All that said, we do need to wrap up because we've gone long, but it's good to be back because it's been a while since we had a show. So this was nice.
There is other stuff which we will endeavor to get to. PC Gamer did a show from there, which I did last night. There is an indie showcase that apparently has a ton of games in there. That was done for Tokyo Game Show, and so there's stuff that we still got to get to, and we will. I'm so happy about all of this because this is we're getting to the point where all I have time to do is watch stuff for this show, and I'm not really doing anything else, and that tells me that's where I was hoping that we would get a while ago. And so it's really nice to know that we're there And there's all kinds of stuff to keep us busy. And we just thank you guys for sticking with us the way that you do. Believe us when we say we don't want to go a month between shows. It makes us both extraordinarily uncomfortable to go a month between shows. We love doing this, and we just really appreciate you guys for staying with us. If you're new to the show, we're going to get back to something regular at some point. We say that at the end of every show, but I swear to you, if it's the last thing we do, we're going to do that. I don't know how, but it's going to happen.
Yeah.
If you would like to get involved with the show, you can send us an email, gaminguncensored@gmail.com, or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210. It still works. We'll play your segment.
It does.
If it takes us a couple months, we will get to it. So, yes, 509-GAME-210. Send us a voicemail.
I yell at Google on a monthly basis to keep that thing alive, so please send us a voicemail. You also need to go to the Discord, because while I was out of town last week, the Discord was blowing up. There's lots of guys over there having all kinds of conversation about various things, and I love it because you and I don't have to be involved.
Yes.
Like, if there's a conversation going on over there, I'm like, okay, cool, I'll get to that when I'm in front of Discord.
Yeah,
because this Discord area is for the people that listen to the show, especially the older guys that have been around for a while. Mike Gomes, I'm looking at you. Will Moody, I'm looking at you. A couple of the old guys that aren't over there that should be. This is the place for the Gaming Uncensored community. So if you're not on Discord, if you're not hanging out with us, please do. We do pay attention to it. I read everything. I know you read everything. We are paying attention to it, and we love it.
Yes. It's so great. I love it. It's fantastic. It's I do keep up with it, even though I don't respond a lot. I see everything that's being posted over there, which is just fun. Again, like you said, it's the community, and we get to just kind of peek in and participate where we want to.
Yeah, it's fabulous. Perfect. And it's what we've always wanted for this show. And I have so many ideas of things that we could do if we're given time. We could easily get back to the round table. We could easily have some of you guys on the show because of the tech that Discord allows us to have.
Yes.
We can do lots of things for this show because of Discord, and we will, if we ever get our time back.
Yes.
That being said, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. We are the Idiots Explaining Entertainment, and it's an extravaganza, and it's only on GamingUncensored.com, and we are out. Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.